Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, absolutely no children because this is an A-rated podcast. This is Ready Player 2, episode 77. I'm going to jump right into it because I've absolutely banjaxed my back today and I need to talk fast, faster than normal, because if we don't finish this podcast within the next 15 minutes, I might die. So it's going to be pretty easy,
actually. The ratings would be great, though, wouldn't they?
What, if I don't talk much?
No, if you die.
Oh, if I die? If I die live on the podcast, yeah. That will be released 2 years after we finish recording it. So, all right, you've heard. That's it. It's giving it away who we've got this week. So we've got a trio of podcasters this week. My name is Rich. I've broken my back. I will be talking quite a lot, so hold on to your pants. We have also got Anti-L.
Hi, that's me. I know that's you this time, yeah.
Yeah, you're aware that that's you this time.
Me. I'm up with the times.
We also have the podfather, Mr. Rossifer Bellbag. How are you?
I'm good. It's Father's Day. It's the dadcast.
Mm. It is actually. Yeah. Oh, it is. I didn't think about that.
The dadcast.
Only the dads managed to make it to this podcast this week. Elle's ill. Lewis is away. So the three of us this week. Have we all had a good Father's Day?
Yeah, really nice.
We haven't had to do stuff that we want to do since Father's Day.
Yeah.
I've been fixing radiators, but I did go out to the pub for a pub lunch and I did get a pub dinner and I did get beers, so I'm happy with that.
I call it do the fuck what I want day.
Right. Well, I got board games and sci-fi books and beer and all kinds of stuff, so I'm pretty damn happy.
Chocolate. Yeah,
chocolate. Did you get anything nice, Ross?
I got beer and I got a new backpack because my work backpack just keeps splitting open, which is always fun when you're walking down the street.
It's always good, and it's such a stupid holiday as well, isn't it?
It is.
Just I like that we just get stuff.
Yeah,
for no reason. Yeah.
I got
you
game.
Me up. Have some stuff. Yeah, but you bought that yourself, didn't you?
Well, I bought it in the name of Father's Day.
In the spirit of Father's Day, you bought yourself a gift.
Present.
Yeah.
I do that as well. Birthday as well. And Christmas.
Well, we nearly bought a game and we didn't in the end.
Yeah.
As a Father's Day gift to ourselves. But Ross is going to talk about that a little bit later, so we'll be able to find out whether we made the right decision or not. Look, we need to potentially just skirt over the three elephants in the room. E3 has been going on, is going on, was going on. As this podcast gets released, it was about a month and a half ago. And we're going to talk a little bit about possibly some of the stuff that we saw at E3. But we're not going to talk loads about it because we live streamed and live commented on a bunch of the E3 content.
Yeah.
And you can find those videos on our Twitch, on our YouTube, on our Mixer. We'll go through all of those at the end of the podcast. I think it's like mixer.com/readyplayer2. Twitch.com/readyp2 maybe.
Something.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, they're on our website. I'll try and list them all at the end of the podcast, but it's probably going to be
right.
Very similar to that.
Readyp2.
Yeah, there you go. We've also been putting out loads of content this week on our YouTube and our Facebook. We've got new videos up. We've got all kinds of stuff. So go look at all of those.
15 new videos on YouTube since the last podcast.
There you go. So we're putting out tons of content. It's not just podcasts anymore. We're not just a one-trick pony.
Well, of course,
we're
like all media.
Yeah,
we're like a two-trick pony now.
We
just cross-post a lot. So we're going to have to say something about E3, because it would be pretty stupid if we did. So, just quickly, I want everybody to just say what their standout, no, it doesn't have to be game, but what their standout thing of E3 was. So start with Lee.
Can I say what my standout 15 things were? Because
No.
I'm going to show on Wednesday for that.
Okay. There's so many. Do you know, I'm going to go with the negative one, because I came to this one hoping for so much VR stuff to come, because Bethesda had such a big conference, and they did have an amazing conference. I was blown away by it. But what really left me with a sour taste in my mouth was that hardly anything had VR attached to it.
And actually, that's a theme that carried across a lot of E3. Yeah. I didn't see a huge amount of VR stuff being touted from any of the major players.
Mm. Mm. It was a bit disappointing. But since then, more has come out. There is stuff. There's just not going to be AAA. It's beyond expectations to expect AAA games to be developed by these big studios right now, exclusively for VR. They're going to be bolted on for a while. So
I think there's a fear at the moment. If the big studios come out and say, right, this game is made for VR, you can also play it 2D as well, so it's kind of both, that the VR people are going to go, well, hang on a minute, you know, I don't want this half-baked crap.
Yeah.
And the non-VR people are going to be going, well, I don't want you, you know, neutering my 2D games so that they can be shoehorned into VR. So there's a potential lose-lose, and I think people are skirting around that. Adding it in after the fact seems to be the way to go for a lot of these studios.
Bolt at on. Least I'm not as butthurt as all of the Fallout fans about Fallout 76. So.
Well, that's yet to be seen.
No. I'm just going to say this. Fallout Survival of Old Grust.
Fallout Survival of Old Grust. Was that Grust?
No, Rust. Oh, they're Crust, if you like.
Crusty, yeah.
Yeah, it's
Fallout Exiles.
It's not what we want, but we'll cover that next time.
Yeah, we'll speak about that at some point. Ross, what was your standout thing at E3?
Xbox having a shitload of games.
Yeah.
Not specifically console exclusives, but world exclusives and just stuff coming to that console. And Kingdom Hearts 3 comes from Xbox.
Yeah, well, I felt that the Microsoft conference for the first time didn't feel Xbox heavy.
No,
it was Xbox,
games,
you know, but it was about games. Mm, it wasn't about, and they, do you know what? I kept waiting for them to go into the hardware side of things. Mm-hmm. They did speak a little bit about the hardware and what they were doing and how powerful the console was, the newest console and stuff like that. But they didn't really push the Xbox as a console. They were more pushing the Xbox platform as a platform, which now includes the PC side of things as well.
They were talking
a lot about the Game Pass, an awful lot about the Game Pass. And most of the new games that they were talking about were all going to be, or not all, but most of them were going to be available in the Game Pass on release. So Crackdown 3. Yeah, Crackdown 3, Division 2, Forza Horizon, the weird Gears of War games that they've decided they're going to do.
Gears of War,
which is weird, and there was loads of stuff. And the only thing that I will say about the Game Pass, it is a little bit frustrating, and I think we've spoken about this before. Mm. When they talk about the Game Pass, what they don't say is that because a game's in the Game Pass doesn't necessarily mean that it's available in the Game Pass for every platform.
Yeah.
So when they say that The Division 2 is going to be available with the Game Pass from launch, what they didn't say is if that's Xbox only or Xbox and PC cross-platform.
They need to make that clear.
And we spoke about this when we were doing the live stream, and it would be very, very interesting because Ubisoft games on Xbox use Microsoft services. So it doesn't really make any difference. If they release it through the Game Pass, it works perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Ubisoft games on the PC are all delivered through Uplay, which is Ubisoft's content delivery platform on the PC. They don't sell their games directly through Steam. You have to download them through Uplay, or even if you buy them through Steam, you've got to launch the Uplay client to download them. If it's available on the Game Pass, it's going to have to be downloadable through the Microsoft Store, which would be a huge departure for Ubisoft for their content delivery, and they haven't said yet whether that's going to be a thing or not. So I'm guessing that Division 2 is actually going to be an Xbox-only Game Pass exclusive.
Yeah,
but I'd love to find out more about that, because really nobody's talking about it, and it is a problem. It does kind of get on my nerves.
Yeah, the release date is the same across all consoles and PC.
So the thing that I've seen that I'm actually interested in, and this is weird because I've not been interested in one of these games for ages, so we went through a whole bunch of different, there was loads of different games, and there's a bunch that I am interested in and a bunch that I'm just not that interested in.
Yeah.
Trials, the new Trials game. Yes. For the first time I watched that that kind of release footage that they brought out of the Trials game, and we were going, ooh, ah, ooh, that looked painful, and all that kind of stuff as it was going through. This is the first time I've watched Trials footage, and I've watched loads of Trials footage before. Byron, who used to do videos for us on our YouTube channel, did a whole series of Trials videos, and I watched them and enjoyed them, looked funny and all the rest of it. But this is the first time I've watched one, and the content and the atmosphere and the backgrounds and the scenarios and everything that's going on in this one seem way more explosive than they ever have done in one of the Trials games before.
Yeah, definitely.
And for the first time, I'm proper interested in it. And multiplayer, which I don't believe has been in a Trials game before either.
Only as far as you set a score, someone beats your score, your score's
on
the screen.
Yeah.
Well, in this one, it looks like it's multiple people playing at the same time, unless they've done something weird with the shadow, so you're not actually simultaneously playing. I'm not sure, but... I'm
pretty sure it is multiplayer.
It certainly looked like it was multiplayer, simultaneous multiplayer. Mm. That, I'm on board with. Couple of pups in there as well, a couple of things that I wasn't so bothered about, the weird Gears franchising that they've now decided
with
to smacking of what they tried to do with Halo.
Yeah.
Which is basically they've taken the Gears franchise and they've gone, okay, right now, so we're going to branch out into other games. So this is what we need to do. This is what we need to do. We need to take a pure 18 certificate game franchise that has previously not been available to people of the younger generations before because it's heavily gory, very very adult oriented, and we're gonna kid it down to make it accessible to them. What?
Yeah.
No!
You're missing new IP at that point.
Oh god. So they've made a Gears of what I can't remember what it was called. Gears Pop, was it?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, which is based on the Funko Pop kind of things, the collectible doll things that you get. It was very odd. And then they've done a top-down strategy game, which looks very similar to Halo
Wars.
Yeah, it was Halo Wars. Yeah. So I don't know. Very odd. I was sat there thinking, well, these are the games that nobody asked for. Do you know what I mean? That's the shit that nobody really wanted.
I was
encouraged that, we've been worried for the last few months about Microsoft and all Xbox specifically, but about the exclusivity games on that platform against the PS4 ones. And I think I feel better about it now.
I don't. I'm still worried.
Well, they unveiled 18 exclusives.
And that's fantastic. Exclusives to the platform, though, not exclusives to the console. Mm. And the problem is, if I was to go out and buy a console right now, I would not be incentivized whatsoever to buy an Xbox. There would be no need for me to, because I can get the same games on my PC.
Oh, yeah, but PC games are a different case. I think, console gamers...
In terms of exclusives, as far as I'm concerned, an exclusive is a game that isn't exclusive to a manufacturer or a platform. It's exclusive to that console.
When these games
come out, I'm going to be able to play them on my PC. Now, if I wanted to play them in a different room, okay, fair enough, I want to buy an Xbox.
Microsoft are a different case, though, because they own the Xbox and they own Windows as well. So.
It depends. If they're not bothered about selling the consoles, then great. That's fine. And actually, I think they don't earn their money from the consoles. No, exactly.
So they want to get as much software out there.
And we still buy the peripherals and things for our PCs because we've all got Xbox pads.
Exactly.
That we connect to our PCs. So
you haven't bought one for a while. You're still on the 360.
No, I'm rocking along with my 360 pads.
Yeah.
Right. Are we done with E3? Can that be done? Can we be E3'd out? Look, in the next couple of podcasts, and we're doing another one fairly soon, we're going to talk about E3 a little bit more. So we're going to try and do a podcast in the next few days, which we're going to have at least Mealy and Lewis on.
Yeah.
And we were the ones that were doing a lot of the E3 coverage, and we're going to talk a lot more about the E3 stuff on there. But right now,
Get well soon, Al.
Hopefully we'll have Al on there as well. We have games that we need to talk about. This is fucking urgent. So... I'm not going to talk.
What?
I'm gonna back off, mostly because I need to stretch my back. So I wanna hear. Actually, both of the games that I can see that are on Ross's list this week, I want to hear about. But specifically, one of them is the one that's on the top of the list. So, Ross, could you tell us what you've been playing this week and your thoughts?
Far Cry 5. I'm a big fan of Far Cry games. And
same.
So jelly.
Yeah, apart from Blood Dragon, obviously. Which they take the piss out of in this game, which is great.
Oh
nice.
Yes, they are shooting a Far Cry Blood Dragon 3 film within this game, up in the wilderness. Which is great. You have to do some missions and stuff, and you actually get the one of the unlockable outfits for your character is the suit that the guy wears in Blood Dragon. So that's quite cool, running around Montana. Hunting bears, wearing the futuristic outfit. But yeah, this game is so good. It's Far Cry 4, it's Far Cry 3 in terms of gameplay, but the story they've put on top of it is superb. And You put fishing in it. I spent hours
what?
Just fishing.
You can fit. Oh, I'm in. Yeah. I'm in. Oh, what did we do, Lee? We ruined ourselves. Damn it.
Fishing is so good.
Oh.
There's different, different types of rods, different types of lures, and there's so much open water space to fish. I spent hours just sitting there fishing.
What's the benefit? Can you cook the fish as well?
You can sell it and make money, because money is very hard to come by. And
you can literally... Is this Fishmonger Simulator 2018?
Pretty
this...
much. The fish is worth more than the bear skins and things like that.
Fuck, what? You'd think people would be like, fucking bear skin? Yeah, all right.
I've got an important
but
question.
No, bit of cod.
Can we co-op fish?
I'm out, you and Rich probably can. If you both get on PC, you can both fish at the same time.
Oh wow!
Because it's not online. Oh,
could we have a
no
competition?
Way. Yeah,
yeah,
we are definitely going to have to do live stream co-op fishing.
There are leaderboards within the game for because there's like hard places to fish, and there are actually.
I love the way that we spoke about the title of the game and the fact that the story is quite good, and then jumped straight into the fishery. That is in it.
I can smell the fishy fingers and the slime.
Well, do you know what? Because we played, me and a load of my friends and my wife, we all played Final Fantasy XI, which was the first online version of the Final Fantasy franchise.
Yeah.
And we didn't play it for all that long, only about a month and a half, something like that. We literally spent the entire time fishing. The whole time.
Nice.
I don't think we even left the main city. So I'm well into this.
What this does have within it is Far Cry Arcade, which allows single player, two player co-op, multiplayer stuff. You can build maps, small maps for you and your friends to play in. You can take bits from Assassin's Creed,
yeah,
Black Flag.
I remember seeing about this.
Watch Dogs, Primal. You can add it all into your thing.
And you create your own little scenarios, can't you?
Yeah.
It's not just like kind of straightforward levels. You can actually create whole scenarios. With,
yeah.
Like
you can create like
can
games to play within.
And they got
the
like a workshop mode.
You can inject
mode.
Voice acting and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
So you can download other people's ones.
Yeah, and there are arcade machines scattered around the world in your single player, which you can just jump in at any point and play the arcade mode.
Rich, I hate you right now.
This is not my fault.
This is your
you
fault.
You wanted those silly pad things
way.
For your fucking Vice.
I gave you every opportunity.
Hey, I've still got money. I could still buy this game.
The storyline is great, by the way. I should mention that. It's all about...
you're not making this better for me, Russ.
A cult that's been taken over the Montana, almost in Seattle, in the Pacific Northwest of America. And they are taken over one by one. You've got to kind of... They've got three different areas of the family. So you've just got to do missions within those certain areas and lead the resistance, basically.
I think I'm going to get this on Xbox and play it with Ross instead.
Oh, do you know what? Fuck you. This was brilliant, actually. This is one of the standout things of EGX last year.
No,
we went to...
last year, yeah.
Yeah, we went and queued up for Far Cry 5 EGX last year. And they were one of the only people that had the... The guys that were managing the queue were all in character.
Oh, nice.
So they all had these pamphlets and they were walking up to people and kind of going, have you heard the good news, brother?
Oh,
have you
brilliant.
Heard the good news? And they were handing out these pamphlets.
When they first did this, we joined the queue and they came over and they gave us these pamphlets. And I looked at it and it's like religious themed.
Yeah, it's all about
and
the
I thought,
cult.
Is this somebody that's just got into EGX just to give out actual religious themed stuff that he's trying to convert us to some cult because we're like a soft target?
it's very pointed in what it says and points as well. It's obviously making digs at the Trump administration and the current state of America and stuff like that as well.
And these guys were walking around and I turned around at one point and there's just this dude stood there staring.
He had the stariest eyes.
He had the
ever
wildest
seen.
Eyes and he just stood there and I turned around and I was like, you're right? And he just stood there.
So
and I'm
funny.
Like, I'm not sure how far this is going to go. People were taking pictures of them and they were holding these kind of these bolt action rifles and stuff like that. It was great.
Yeah.
They made a great show of it. They got everybody into the theme of it. The queue was interesting. The game was really entertaining to play. Everybody played it a different way. I managed to break the game and glitched it out. But fuck it, that's expected. That's expected of me on a release game, let alone an unreleased one.
Mm.
And there and then I knew that I wanted it. The problem is it's been really expensive. But at the moment...
It has, yeah.
At the moment... If you were to go buy it on PC, because there is an E3 sale on the Uplay store at the moment, if you go to the actual genuine Uplay store through Uplay on the PC, you get 25% off everything.
20.
If on top of that, you spend 100 Uplay points, which you can earn by playing the games, which are kind of like their gamer score points that you get given for doing certain achievements in the game, you then get a further 20% off.
Damn.
So you can get this for £30 from
I'm
a genuine
Uplay
store. You can get this for £30 from the Genuine Uplay store right now. And that is cheaper than CD keys, it's cheaper than G2A, it's cheaper than anywhere.
Yeah, I paid £32 for CEX.
Yeah, very tempted. Unless it's brand new. So I'm very tempted. Yeah. I'm very, very tempted, especially from that. Look.
I'm buying it now.
Are you really?
Yeah.
I've already put about 20 hours into it. And
really?
Yeah.
Look, I want to ask something. So from a fellow fan, I love Far Cry 3. Yes. I absolutely loved Far Cry 3. Even the stupid mechanisms that I've got very tired of, which is climbing to the top of towers to unlock another part of the map, which is a kind of a Ubisoft trope now.
It is, isn't it?
I quite like that.
That's not really in this one. One of the early missions does it, but you don't do it after that.
So Far Cry 3 was just fantastic. The upgrade system, the way that you got the tatars and all the rest of it to upgrade yourself, the way that your main character gradually drifts away from his friends, who he was kind of trying to save in the first place, and then alienates because he's kind of gone native. And it was just brilliant. It was just really, really fantastic, and I got really into the storyline. I went straight from that into Far Cry 4, and I say straight from that because I played 3 again just before 4 came out.
Yeah.
I went straight into Far Cry 4 expecting much of the same, and I found that even though the mechanisms, the gameplay and all the rest of it in 4 were really nice, the storyline was so bad, I just didn't enjoy it anywhere near as much. And Vaas, the main one of the main bad guys from Far Cry 3, was so incredible that the guy in Far Cry 4 just couldn't compete, I didn't think.
No.
How are we looking in terms of those things in the new game?
In terms of bad guys, and he is very much more like Vaas from 3. He is. There's bits in the game where if you stand in these, it's called Bliss, which is what they're using to kind of indoctrinate people into their cult. It's a drug. So if you stand in these fields of this Bliss, the screen starts to go all hazy, and then you get sent into this other this other part of the game where you're in like a dream state, and Faith Seed, who is the sister, or the bunny is sister of Joseph Seed, the main guy, she's trying to bring you into the cult, and the whole time you kind of have to snap yourself out of it. It's so good. The whole time they're talking to you, you're thinking, maybe he's onto something here. Why am I working for the police? Or why don't I just come and join these guys? Yeah, he's really... The voice acting they've got for it is superb. It's so charismatic. And he's
the main character. Is the main character well-voiced as well?
In terms of bad guy, or the guy you control?
No, the guy you control.
It doesn't say a great deal. But he has some funny quips. And a lot of the characters you are involved with are really good. When you play it, when you unlock the lady with the helicopter as your buddy, she has some rather fruity language.
Really?
Yeah, she's a bit highly sexed for an old lady.
Hey, I'm kind of into that too.
So look,
20 hours into the game, a thumbs up at the moment, right?
Yeah, I've barely touched the main story. I'm just doing side missions and fishing and hunting.
See, what I'm really interested in is the co-op. Because as far as I'm aware, it's got full campaign co-op.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that's drawing me and Lee to it. Now, we've been told, or from what we've read, that the person who is joining the main game doesn't have any progress saved. So it's only the person who started or hosted the game that is actually having any progress made in their game whatsoever.
Yeah.
But then, as a kind of aside from that, it says, oh, but you do carry renown and something else over. And it's not really been very well explained. So I'm not actually 100% sure how it's going to work. But I'm hoping it is full campaign and there's no parts that the second person is kind of locked out from doing. I'm hoping the whole thing is there.
It says the campaign can be played individually or with a partner through the game's cooperative multiplayer known as Friends for Hire. So I don't know if Lee joined your game, he would get the same sort of... he'd see the story in the same way, but obviously he'd be very helpful to play with someone because it's so good to have those helpers in the game, the buddies that they use.
Hmm.
Oh, do we need to research this before we go ahead and splurge?
I mean, it's worth it single player alone. It is so good.
Yeah, my PayPal details weren't attached to my Uplay account, so I haven't actually bought it yet.
Oh.
I'm happy to, but it'll start downloading right now and it'll bugger up the quality of the podcast. So I'm not going to bother right now. Oh, okay. I think I'm going to have to get it. This is... possibly the first time that I've abstained for so long from a Far Cry game, apart from Primal, which I still haven't played.
Primal, no.
No. I wasn't sure about it. It looked like a weird kind of bolt-on, and I never bothered with it. But Lee, you played it, didn't you? And you said you really liked it.
Sorry, which was... Sorry.
Primal.
Far Cry
Primal.
Oh,
yeah, I own Primal. I love that. I didn't finish it, but it's a big game. It's, the story kind of petered out a bit for me because it turned into a bit of a grind.
Right.
But it was quite a departure from some of the game mechanics from your standard Far Cry stuff because you didn't have any guns. But they added in companions. So you had pets. You could have a bear with you that would do certain things.
They're also in this game as well.
Are they really?
You can have a pet bear.
You can have a pet dog, a pet bear. A pet cougar, and they all have different.
To be fair, you had me at fishing. Cougar.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say any jokes about wives.
You can use the cougar to. It sneaks through long grass. So if you're fighting guys in the jungle areas, take the cougar with you. It crawls through the grass and hunts down people.
She doesn't listen to this. I'm not worried.
Thank Christ for that. Right, look, we need to move on from Far Cry 5. So far, 20 hours in, pretty good.
Yep.
I've got a funny feeling that me and Lee are probably going to get it at some point, so we will be able to report back on the quality of the multiplayer. We're not going to play it tonight, don't push too hard. Right, so, we need to move to something else. Lee, would you like to talk about your game, or do you want to skip over you for now and go...
Yeah, skip me for now.
Okay. Right, look.
I'm busy buying.
So tell me how big it is, because I might download it at the same time.
It's only 27 gig on Xbox.
Oh, fuck, I'm going to have to go, aren't I?
Which is small for Xbox games.
Right, okay, we're going to talk about a game. Right, we are going to talk about a game that I have played. And this is kind of a big... Well, I think this is a big one. I'm not actually sure whether it is or not. And there's going to be a bunch of people that are huge fans of either PlayerUnknown Battleground or Fortnite that are going to say, fuck you, this is some inbred piece of shit game that just turned out in the middle of nowhere and fucking nobody gives a shit about it. But people do give a shit about it. So this game is called Realm Royale. Now, as far as I'm aware, it's only available on PC at the moment. This is by Hi-Rez Games. Now, Hi-Rez Games are reasonably adept at sounding out trends in gaming and shoving a game out in that space. To capitalise on the market as it is at the time. They did this with Paladins.
Yep.
They did this with... Oh, I'm trying to think of the
Smite.
Other big one that they did.
That's it.
Smite, that's it. And they've also done things like they've shut down development of a game in order to chase a more lucrative game type. So they're not done, and they go where the money is, and if they go where the money is, then that gives them more money and finances and time to develop something that's actually really good. And their games have been very well accepted in general. So they have made a game called Realm Royale, which is clearly capitalising on what's going on right now with Fortnite specifically, but with also PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, which is also still going strong. The aesthetic is very similar to Fortnite. It is, if you looked at it versus Fortnite, I mean... You could be forgiven for thinking that a screenshot from Realm Royale was from World of Warcraft. Because that's kind of what it looks like. Yeah. And what they've done is they've departed from the modern day or the slightly futuristic aesthetic or cartoony aesthetic that Fortnite's got, and instead opted for a medieval cartoony aesthetic, which is a little bit more similar to WoW. It's 100 people, they drop in from a kind of blimp airship thing, very similar to Fortnite, and from then on... Pretty much the same thing. There's a couple of major differences though here. Firstly, everybody that drops in Fortnite is made equal. From the moment that you leave the ship until the moment you touch the ground and start picking something up, you are all exactly at the same advantage or disadvantage. You are the same person. And then what you pick up and gather in the game determines what you can do later on, and obviously your skill level and all the rest of it. And that's not the same as that with Realm Royale. With Realm Royale, every class... So there's five different classes. You've got warrior, mage, engineer, assassin, and something else that I can't remember.
Hunter.
All of them have got different abilities. And you pick up those abilities out of chests in the same way that you loot everything else. And it completely changes the way that the game plays. There is no building. This is one of the biggest barriers in Fortnite to a lot of players.
Yeah, well, it puts me off.
If you're a new player in Fortnite, and I've got okay at it, but I'm not great at it. If you're a newish player in Fortnite, there is no rankings, there's no bracketing, there's no way of making sure that you're in a game with other people that are relatively your skill level. And other people say, oh yeah, there is. No, there fucking isn't. Don't lie to me. Right? So you will sooner or later, you might get relatively far into the game, but you will end up against people who are just ridiculous at fucking... Like, I will get into the top 20 people in a game, and as soon as I meet somebody, I'm there desperately attempting to build a small ramp and a wall in front of it so I don't get shot, and they've got a fucking six-story mansion by the time I've managed to do that.
You've got
and
a
they're
wall?
Shooting at me from the...
Yeah, no, you're yeah, a and, pro. Well,
they're shooting at me from the fucking crenellations while sipping Mai Tais from their fucking deck chair. So I cannot build in the way that these people can. And it's a barrier, and it's frustrating because you need to spend time, you need to practice, and it's very Twitch sensitive. And I know people have got macros and auto build things, and I don't like any of that. It's all bollocks. Anyway, there's none of that in this. There isn't. It is. There's no building destruction. There is no building. It's all kind of skill based. You drop in, you pick up weapons, you pick up skills, you use your abilities and your weapons to take out other people. Major point. There is a major difference here between both Fortnite and PlayerUnknown Battleground, in which in Fortnite and PUBG, if you're in a team game and you die, you get shot and all of your health goes, you
need to get a book out.
Well, you need to wait, because one of your teammates needs to wake you up. If you're playing solo, that's it, you're dead. As soon as you get dropped, you're dead. You've got no hope, that's it. If you are in a team game, you've got to wait for what you've got to hide. You've got to crawl around and hide, wait for a teammate to come get you up, and that's a massive disadvantage because that's taken both you and another person out of the game for a period of time. Yeah. In this, in Realm Royale, if you lose all of your health and armor, you turn into a chicken. And this is just as amazing as it sounds.
My favorite thing in the game.
It is so good, and you're just this like fucking big fat blue or red chicken with a black eye holding a white flag that it's waving around as you're running. And you just have to run, and you have to try and survive.
The best
your
thing about the chicken
cannot get you up
is that it plays like a little chicken ditty as you're running around. So you give your position away because you're making chicken noises.
Yeah, as you're moving, you're making chicken noises. Oh, if you stop and stop moving, it stops making as much noise. 30 seconds. Your teammates can't get you up. They can protect you, but they can't get you up. After 30 seconds, poof, you unchicken, and you can join back into the game again. It is such a brilliant mechanism. It makes a massive difference to the way that the game plays. Add on top of that the fact that you're picking up armor. And we're not just talking shield potions like you get in Fortnite. You actually pick up different pieces of armor that come in different qualities. So you get normal, rare, epic, and elite, or legendary armors. And the legendary armors you can only craft or forge, which are in certain places in the game. It is excellent. It sounds really complex when you first look at it, but it really isn't. You can disenchant gear that you don't want, so you're not leaving loot all over the place for the person that turns up after you to pick up. Yeah. You can disenchant it turns into these crystals, which go into your inventory. You find a forge. If you've got enough of these crystals, you can craft something. If you do that, it takes a certain amount of time. If it's a piece of armor, it takes like 60 seconds to craft that item, and the forge lights up like the 4th of fucking July.
Which is the other game mechanic that funnels everybody together.
It funnels everybody into one place and causes big fights. It is so entertaining. I come out of Fortnite games and PUBG, but PUBG plays differently for me. But I come out of Fortnite games a lot of the time, even if I've done relatively well, feeling dissatisfied and frustrated. Mm. And it's so easy for, at the end of a Fortnite game, you could have been doing pretty well. You've done an awful lot of looting. You've done really, really well all the way through the game. You come up against one of the top players who is probably going to win, and they will end you. they will fucking erase you like you weren't even there in the first place in 2 seconds flat. And you'll feel, why have I just wasted the last 20 minutes of my life? What was the point? Yeah. I might as well have not been there. He just ran through me. It's not quite like that in this. I mean, it does happen, but it's much more of a fight. People are much better geared. You get to pick and choose how you're entering and engaging in combat. Because you can't build over people, the high ground matters. Mm. So your positioning and you're shooting out windows or in windows or from a boulder behind the top of a hill or stuff like that, it all makes a difference. And you can't change that by arbitrarily just building a structure. You've got to move your position. You've got to use your abilities in the right way to get the advantage on your opponents. I come out of this game feeling so much more satisfied than I ever did with Fortnite. And I still enjoy Fortnite. I think it's a good game, but this just feels so much better to me. It is in alpha at the moment. It's completely free to download on PC. There will be a battle pass, which they're going to charge, presumably in a very similar way that Fortnite does at the moment, because let's face it, they're just copying them. But But at the minute, it's completely free. It's in alpha. There are a couple of bugs. They are constantly changing things, but it's so playable right now, and it's really, really enjoyable. It was, like, ranked fourth on the whole of Steam last week, I think. Yeah, that's something that they were touting a lot. Obviously, it's free, so...
I don't think they expected this to blow up so quick as well. Because
no. This caused them a big problem, actually, because we started playing... Because we saw some articles, and there were some very sensationalist articles saying, oh, this is the game to...
Fortnite killer.
Fortnite. Yeah, this is the Fortnite killer. And, of course, you get this bollocks all the fucking time. Whenever there's a big game that comes out, this is the FIFA killer. This is the Call of Duty killer. Mm. And it's all lead nonsense. Anyway, we saw a couple of these articles. We thought, do you know what? I like Battle Royale games. This is free. We'd be daft not to give it a go. And I think an awful lot of people thought that as well, because their servers crashed.
Yeah.
Their servers crashed hard. And they put out an announcement saying, look, we really weren't expecting this amount of influx to happen. And it's just caught fire. And it is really entertaining, really good fun. Loads of people that I know are playing it. We've always got people available to play. There you go.
Yeah.
It came out on the 5th. Your first live stream of it was on the 7th.
Yeah, there you go. And we played with listeners now as well. Yeah. We had Sarah Colleton playing with us the other day, which is great fun. She's both very good at the game and incredibly abusive to me.
Yeah.
So thank you.
She speaks the truth. She sees through you. Yeah.
Oh, I can't be dealing with that kind of truth. It's too much for me. Look, it's great fun. If you're interested in this kind of genre, definitely give it a download. It is definitely worth it.
Doesn't have controller support, though, for any noobs like me. So.
I'm sure it's coming.
No, which is really weird, actually, because it's got controller buttons in the key mapping,
like the
in the key binds, but it doesn't seem to work.
No, I've tried every way around it.
Sorry, you were going to say something, Lee.
Yeah, what I really liked the other night was the feeling that you can do really well at this game no matter how good or how new you are. So we started up a team of four, and you can find the video of this on our YouTube channel. And we decided to do a knives only round, like you do in Counter-Strike.
This was off the back of Lewis. Running brazenly into a building completely ungeared with only the knife and a pair of underpants on and run into a building, and there were these people in there that were armed like fucking Rambo that thought, oh, nobody would be so stupid to run at us with a knife, so he must be on our team. He was not on their team. And then proceeded to shiv the shit out of them all. Chickened like three people before he emerged victorious from the building with fucking poultry spilling out
so
all over the place.
Inspired by this, we thought we'd all give it a go. And we hid for a good 20 minutes in the corner of a room waiting for somebody to walk in, and it was worth it. I can only imagine the look on this guy or girl's face as they saw four people with swords and knives huddled in the corner of a room suddenly stand up and charge at them. Guy turned round like his ass was on fire and legged it. We died soon after, but it was...
Oh, yeah, we died. Oh, God, we died. That's a great video. That video on YouTube, which go and look, we'll try and link it in the show notes for the show. It's a good showcase of the way that the gameplay works, but also the silliness that you get. Oh, you get a horse. I didn't even mention the horse.
Yeah.
You get a horse that you can mount up onto this horse and move, so you can move quicker through the map. You can't fire off the back of it while you're on it, but da 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 da. It just adds different gameplay elements. While they've tried to piggyback on the success of the genre, they've not tried to clone the game. And it plays as a completely different game to both Fortnite and PUBG. Okay. So definitely worth it. Give it a go.
There you go.
There you go. I highly approve of this.
Right. We are moving on. We need to move on to something else. We need to move on to a game that Lee has played.
I played Budget Cuts.
Budget Cuts.
You streamed this as well, didn't you?
I've streamed the first 3 hours. I've done 3 one-hour segments of this. I'm going to stream the whole thing. As a side note, I'm streaming with me, actual me, superimposed on the stream.
Little so you can, me.
Little me, mini me is in the corner of the stream. You can actually see me struggling to get off of my knees.
Finally found a use for a Kinect.
Yes.
Yeah, the only valid use for a Kinect.
It's finally become use. I actually went and bought a Kinect just to do this with.
Yeah, and how much did that cost you? For an Xbox... One Kinect, not the original version, but the new version of the Kinect. How much did that cost?
20 English pounds.
I mean, you could have had mine.
And
for
that's
free,
how much it? People. Yeah, that's how much people want them. That was shipping. That was all. That was all shipping.
I thought you. I actually probably spent more on petrol getting there.
That's
I
true,
thought you
actually.
Used yours for your Xbox for us.
No, it's been disconnected.
Ah, oh, right. I shall send you links on how to solder a power supply to make it something useful. So budget cuts first appeared on the Vive in demo form 2 years ago. In fact, probably a little bit more than 2 years ago. And it was just a short demonstration of this really clever answer to the how you get around in VR, because it was much more of a problem back then than it is now. So they wanted to use a teleport mechanic, but they didn't just want the throw a point there and I will just blink to it mechanic. Yeah. They kind of worked in a bit of Portal into this game, and everybody that sees it, Lewis watched me on the stream today, and he instantly said, this looks like Portal. So you, in the demo, you shoot with this portal gun, if you like, to a point where you want to go to, and then a bubble appears in your hand of the portal at the with the viewpoint of the source.
Yeah.
So if you shoot it around a corner, you can look at it with your portal around the corner, and then if you want to, you can teleport to it. So the whole game is. It uses this mechanic to build its puzzles around this, and you can, for instance, you can get through small spaces, you can go through vents and through bars with the portal mechanic. So anyway, the demo was really well received. Everybody raved about it. They, off of the back of this, Neat Corporation, who made it, started making waves, and they started developing the game. And then 2 years ago, Valve took them in-house. They didn't buy them. They are not a Valve developer. They took them, and apparently this is something that happens quite often at Valve. They will take in a developer that has a promising concept that will benefit Steam or something to do with Valve.
Yeah.
And
they just, like, share assets with them and stuff.
Yeah, they help them out. They give them somewhere to work. They, you know, I mean, I think Neat actually are European. They actually moved their business all the way over there to the Americas and started working on the game there. And to say that this caused quite a stir in Vive circles and VR circles is an understatement, because everybody started thinking, oh, this is going to be the next Valve game. This is going to be Portal for the VR. It's not. Let's get that out of the way. It's not a Valve game. It's still an indie game, and the expectations that came along with it might have damaged it a little bit, because I've seen some negative reviews where people are just expected too much of it, and there are problems with the game. There's they had to delay it for a couple of months this year, because the performance was not what it needed to be. Lower end hardware and even some higher end hardware was really struggling to make it into a decent experience. But they took a couple of months. They prodded at the code for a little while, and then they finally released it. And I bought it straight away.
It's £20 on Steam currently.
Yeah. Which is a little bit over the... Yeah, I think £20 for a VR indie game is about right. You're going to pay a premium for VR games anyway, because you've got a small market. They've got, you know, probably higher costs to get the thing out there in the first place, and they're not going to get as much money back. So they're always going to be a little bit of a premium to pay. And I think... And I tweeted them and said that I admired them for actually pitching it at £20, because they could have easily, with this much hype attached to the game, they could have easily have said, you know, £30 or £35.
Yeah.
And they still would have sold well. So anyway, I've been playing this. It's pretty damn good. I'm having a good time.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There are some problems. I don't think... I'm not sure whether this is game design problems. The game starts off in a quite tight area where you don't have too many branches, too many different ways to go. It's not too complicated. You can follow almost a linear path. You have a narrative that you follow. Somebody pages you a number. You have to find a phone to get the next clues, the next set of clues to follow. And as the game starts, everything is fine. But when you get a little way into the game, it opens up. And the big office building where the game is set is big. It's sprawling. And it's so easy just to get lost in it. And because you're not just walking around on the floor. You can go through vents and you can go up into the ceiling spaces and crawl around up there. And every time that you you fire your teleport, which is the only way to move around, which I'm a little bit sad about. I quite like normal smooth locomotion with this. Every time you fire your teleport gun, it's really easy to get turned around. So keeping your bearings and find and realizing where you are in the level is actually quite difficult. And it can be a little bit confusing. And I can see how that could put a few people off. But it, in a charming way... it doesn't hold your hand. It lets you figure out stuff. It doesn't point you to the next thing. You've got no highlighted waypoint to follow. You literally have to go and search through. You go searching through offices, through drawers, looking for the next clue.
Yeah.
Have you actually touched on what the actual core gameplay of this is, other than teleporting around?
In what terms? What do you mean?
What's your objective?
So from what I gather, this is basically a VR sneak 'em up, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is a stealth creep around. You can engage in combat, which, from what I've seen and what I played in the demo, takes the form of
chucking knives, and
mostly
scissors.
Throwing knives. Yeah, throwing knives and stuff like that at other robots.
Yeah.
That are in the area, and you hit them, and a little bit of oil comes out, and they get knocked down, and you've got to be careful of cameras or other robots that see you kill the other robot and stuff like that.
There's drones that fly around. There's bad robots. They've got the guard robots which will instant. I'm pretty sure that you're a human in this. It references
you
as a human in this. And some of the humor is pointing at that fact as well. So I'm fairly sure, but it's, do you know, the story is quite loose. It is basically you've got to get out of this building. You've been the start of it is fantastic because it references the Matrix straight away, as in you need to follow my instructions right now. You need to get down now and go move.
Right.
And you're in a cubicle type office, exactly the same as that scene from the Matrix. The story from there, it kind of, you know, although there's this voice on the end of the phone, it doesn't really have a clear narrative going. But I'm okay with that because what it's giving me so far is interesting enough. The puzzles it's given me so far are interesting enough to keep me moving forwards.
Cool.
So there's something that this game has done for me, which is something that I didn't really think I wanted. And I don't like stealth games. Let me get that out there. I am not a stealth gamer.
Yeah.
People may have noticed.
It's obvious. And we are aware of this.
When streaming or playing with other people, I am not the most tactful, technical or stealthy person that you might want on your team.
No.
We played Splinter Cell Blacklist, and the only reason we got away with that is because that is not exactly the stealthiest game in the whole world, but also mainly it doesn't cry if you kill people to death.
Yeah.
So it's not one of those games where you are forced to creep around corners or hide under boxes and the entire level or game ends if somebody just sees you slightly.
Nothing more annoying.
Although there are a couple of levels that are like that. I don't like any of that. It's not my cup of tea. I played the Budget Cuts demo. I enjoyed it. However, it's made me want a Die Hard game in VR.
I did not expect you to go there.
Which
of
is
all
something
the places.
That I didn't. Which is something that I didn't think that I wanted. But I've always thought the first Die Hard, which is, you know, Die Hard 2 had a slightly similar theme to it as well, but the others didn't. But Die Hard, the idea of being one guy stuck in a tower block with a load of bad guys and some hostages and stuff like that, and you're completely unarmed and you don't have any shoes and it's Christmas and you've got jet lag, and I like the idea of that, and VR seems like the perfect medium to take
this. It's not in. Christmas, you haven't got jet lag, there are bad guys, you're on your own in a building and you've got to
get
out.
Well, this is it, it makes me feel like I want that more, you know. So I'm kind of in.
I think you'll like this.
I'm going to give it a go, mostly because I get to play it on your library without having to be charged or anything. So, so I will certainly give that a go. I like the demo. I enjoyed the demo. Just like you've said, it doesn't look like there's a huge amount. And I think, do you think that the fact that at the beginning it's fairly straightforward and easygoing and you get to kind of play in a linear way and then suddenly it opens up is indicative of their timeline as a business?
Are you suggesting the beginning of the game was made
while they were an indie publisher, and then after that it opened up because they had all the resources available to them at Steam?
That's a possibility, but it could also be said that the beginning of the game is almost like tutorial.
It's just a tutorial, and then you get to open up after that.
What was really neat at the beginning is that they actually reference their demo. So you go through at the very beginning, it's kind of got like a flash-forward scene. I won't be spoiling anything to say this, but at the beginning of that, it references the... actually, I'm not going to say any more than that. But it references the demo, because it will spoil something. And in a really neat way that made me go, oh, that's clever.
That's your oh, that's clever voice. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, look, are we happy with Budget Cuts?
I'm happy, yeah. I really like it. I think it's well worth
it. I'm going to play this, and I'm potentially going to give a counteracting opinion here, because, I am not a stealth gamer, and I do not have the patience that Lee enjoys while doing these kinds of things.
If I am
bristling with a brace of knives, I will be going in flinging.
I've more patience than Rich, but not a lot more.
No. Not a lot more stealth either.
No.
And I'm glad that it only really tracks
your arms.
I've got
some blunder.
Yeah. I'm glad that the Vive and this generation of VR only really tracks your arms and your head.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the bulk problems that I would have if it tracked my entire body. You know, stealth is not an element. You like, I go to hide under a desk and the game would be like, nah, mate, you won't fit under there.
But you know what? This is the first game that I think is properly room scale. Because there are everything else, you kind of, you know, you're in the room, you can move around, which makes it a little bit easier for you to see things or to shoot around a corner. This one, you are down on your hands and knees, hiding under desks. When as bad robots walk past you and poking your head up, and when a robot sees you, you get this boop 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 boop, boop noise as it detects you. Exactly how I said. You get a few seconds as when it sees you, just to duck back down again, and it's such a tense thing to do. It's very, very good in that regard. So the stealth thing is done right.
Right, I'm going to play this. I promise. It's not one of those lie promises that I'm not actually going to fulfill, but I will play it. I will report back.
Yeah. After we finish playing Far Cry 5, which
after we finish playing Far Cry 5, but not with Ross because it's not cross-platform.
I'm 30% done.
Motherfuckers. 30% done. Shit. Okay, right, look. We're going to talk about something else. Ross has got another pretty big game. What is the AAA shit coming out of you for this week?
Did you win lottery? Because I want some of that if you did.
Where'd you get all this money from? Okay, look. Show us what your hard-earned dollar has been buying you.
Well, Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. This was free, actually, on Games for Gold.
There's no hard-earned dollar. Pauper game.
No dollar.
So I think I said this to somebody else when they started playing it, or possibly it was even you. Is this the one with the mostly naked snake in it?
To begin with, yeah.
Does she get more clothes? Does she earn clothes? Are they like unlocks?
I've only just found her, and she's mostly naked.
Yeah, I didn't understand it.
Yeah. No, there's a quite a disturbing reimagining of what actual Snake looks like in that outfit, and it's quite disturbing.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Don't need that.
No, I think I retweeted that, so just ignore that if you ever see it. but yeah, this is...
To Google!
This is the least stealthy of all Metal Gear games I've ever played. It's a big open world. It's a big open playground, and you can just go about and do what you want. There's obviously missions to complete in each little area. It's all about building up Mother Base to then go back and beat the big boss at the end of the game with your own. You build up your own army, basically.
This is sounding like Assassin's Creed Brotherhood all of a sudden.
A little bit. It's the open worldness that takes it away from being a Metal Gear game. Like, my favourite Metal Gear is Metal Gear 1 on PlayStation, where you're on the ship. That is
Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, it's all confined to one area. There's
Be
no
careful, that wasn't Metal Gear 1.
No, sorry, yeah, the actual PlayStation 1, that one.
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah,
that's one with the one with Psycho Mantis. And
yeah, it's one of my favourite video game moments.
All the great bad guys. Yeah.
But yeah, this is more akin to... Like I said, Assassin's Creed, it's got the big open world, you can do kind of what you want within it. You select a mission, you get dropped off on your horse, and from there, you can approach that mission any way you want. You can go in all guns
blazing. I'm sorry, say that again. You get dropped off on your what?
You've got a horse again in this game. You've got a battle horse.
Again?
A parachuting horse.
No, well, I'll get to the parachute.
Why have you got a battle horse? You like He-Man? What happened?
You've got a battle horse.
You say again, because I haven't followed the Metal Gear Solid games, or the Metal Gear games, sorry, really at all. I did enjoy Metal Gear Solid, and I think I tried to play the one that they brought out following that and didn't enjoy it at all. So I've not got into any of them.
Right.
Have you been playing all of them?
Yes, I've played them all from Metal Gear in 95. Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So yeah, 2018's... I've not played Revengeance yet, that's the newest one. But yeah, this came out in 2015. It is very good. It's the least Metal Gear of all the Metal Gear games I've played. If you've only played the early ones, then it's not like that at all. But
that could be a good thing, though.
It's like what's that Splinter Cell game?
Blacklist.
Blacklist and the other one that came out around that time as well. Those two, where you're in kind of an open world with a story to kind of push along. You can approach missions in a certain way. You can go in stealth if you want, or you can go in all guns blazing.
Yeah, that was very much what Blacklist was like. And people, hardcore fans of the genre, did not like it at all because you couldn't, you know, you could get away with just blazing in. But I enjoyed it. That's my kind of stealth game.
Mm-hmm. So you will enjoy this if you play it because you can do it that way. Obviously, more guards turn up. If someone alerts you and they set off an alarm, then more are coming. But you can just kill them as well.
See, one of the biggest problems I had with the Metal Gear games early on was it was very kind of Japanese anime storyline.
Very talky-talky.
With a lot of talky-talky, a lot of gaspy-gaspy, a lot of, oh, I can't believe that he's the one, where actually about 4 hours ago we all very much believed that he was the one. And, that wasn't quite cool enough, so we're just going to up the ante with a guy with a sword that turns up out of nowhere, and, well, he can cloak, because that's even cooler. And more and more and more, they just kept upping it and upping it and upping it, and it became really Dragon Ball Z.
I mean,
really,
that's still in this.
Do you know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Yeah, that's
while
all still
it
in.
Looks like a Western, it looks like a Western based game. It doesn't, like, if you look at the graphic style and all the rest of it, it doesn't look like a
Final Fantasy.
It doesn't look like Final Fantasy. It doesn't look like Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It doesn't have that kind of characterization and style about it.
Like Japan
animation. But it does in the storyline. It's really weird.
Yeah, it's they've still got these long cutscenes that are unskippable. You can kind of control where you look in them, which is a little bit more interactive, but it's basically just sit there and watch them. There's no codec thing this time, thankfully, so you don't have to sit for hours and hours of that. In terms of review scores...
Oh, the little... Yeah.
This is one of the highest rated games on Xbox One, 95 out of 100 on Metacritic.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, if he dies, or if she dies, does somebody go...
Yep, that's what happens.
Oh, good. I'm okay, I'm in again.
Dun, dun, dun. That bit is still there. So I've not delved as deep into this as I have Far Cry so far, but it is very good, and it's one that I can't just sit down and play for hours and hours and hours because it's so heavy in terms of you've got to do this, you've got to do that. There's one kind of big overarching story mission.
Not a drop in, drop out kind of game.
No, there is a fun thing to do though, to fill your army up with. You can fill it with anyone that's in the world that you encounter. Basically, you stun them with your stun gun. and then you stick this thing to their back, which is like a reverse parachute. It opens up and it flings them into the air and takes them back to Mother Base, and then they're just part of your army then. You can do that to animals.
Cool, so you're a slave driver.
You can do it to boxes, and you can jump on those boxes, and it flings you back to your base as well.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
I'm a bit... And this is okay? Just abducting people? That's fine, right?
It's fine, yeah. You kind of need people to help you with certain things, so...
And boxes?
What happens if they accidentally go off? Like, presumably he's got a pocket full of parachutes, right?
Yes, he has, yeah.
It's just like, if he goes past a microwave or something, and they all
the missus
fucking,
would like that, I'm going to parachute
it
back.
Well, blow his cock off or something. Do you know what I mean? If 400 parachutes suddenly went off in your pocket,
that sounds like the
beginning of a chatter blind, doesn't it?
It does.
Or am I
a parachute in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
One of the early missions, you need someone that can speak Russian so you can translate these calls that you're intercepting. So you work your way around the guards and listen to what they're speaking, and you kidnap them, basically. And when they get back to your base, they just become part of your team.
That's how it works.
Then you can now understand the Russian transmission.
Like, I'm sorry, but if somebody fucking sellotaped a parachute to my back and fucked me off into space and went, right, you work for me now, I'd be like,
nah, mate.
I've got to be honest. I mean, I know I didn't have a particularly great gig before. You know, henchman number 5 is not really what I was looking for when I put my CV out. But,
yeah.
Right, I wasn't great looking prospects. For abductee either. You know, do you give dental? What's what's my upward path here?
But yeah, it's very good. I would recommend it. I wouldn't pay more than kind of £10-15 if you can get it for that price. Then good. Obviously, free is a better price.
Games with gold, yeah?
Yeah, it was last month's free game.
So this is an annoying thing, right? What? When are we going to get that for PC? So I know we can pay into the Game Pass at the minute.
Yeah.
But I want the Games with Gold games as well.
Yeah, you should be allowed them. And it's on PC as well.
Yeah,
because there are... But you don't have to pay for Xbox Live Gold on PC.
Okay.
So I think it's supposed to be, you know, because obviously the PC gamers never fucking go for that. Jesus Christ. Can you try and tell PC gamers that actually to be able to play online games, you're going to have to pay a monthly subscription?
Yeah,
like, fucking get lost. Get lost.
Too many ways around it.
Good grief. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, recommended. So, I like Metal Gear. Go and play it if you like Metal Gear.
With the Games for Gold part, Games for Gold.
Yeah.
If I wanted to play that game, mm-hmm. and it was last month's one, can I still get it?
No. Unless
that
you've
sucks.
Downloaded it. And you have to have downloaded it or claimed it.
So you have to.
You don't have to have downloaded it, do you? You have to have claimed it.
Basically, you have to have paid for that month.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And claimed the game within that month.
Yeah.
If it's the same as a PlayStation Plus thing, you have to have actually kind of gone into the menu and claimed that game during that month.
Yeah. What they're doing is they give
you. And if you ever cancel your subscription, you lose access to it.
Yeah. It says you require the disc to play this game. But yeah, you get two Xbox One games a month and two 360 games a month. For your cost of your gold, which is quite good, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
And considering
you're
going to be paying for gold anyway, because let's face it, you're going to want to play online.
You're going to need
gold to do that.
I'm a different user of that. I kind of use the games for gold just for the games.
I
don't play online Xbox games. The only thing I have done is played a couple of weeks of Rocket League.
Yeah.
But everything else, yeah.
You did a
PC.
Bit of Forza, didn't you? And
oh yeah, a little bit of Forza, but that's only because I was too lazy to walk out into my garage to play it. I don't, you know, if I'm faced with paying a £5 or walking to the garage, I'm probably going to walk to the garage. It's not clear cut.
No, it's a bit hit and miss. Depends how much you need to pee.
Yeah,
yeah.
Depends what time of the day it is. You know, if it's raining, it could be raining as well.
There's a lot of factors to this, really, isn't there? All right, look, I'm sorry, but you haven't swayed me to this game, and that's only because I did love Metal Gear Solid on the original PlayStation.
Yeah,
I got on with it really well. There wasn't really anything like it at the time,
no.
And it, even though it was relatively serious, it had a great big load of tongue in cheek going with it as well, mm-hmm. and it didn't take itself in certain places. It didn't take itself too seriously. The story was great. The characters were fantastic. Not only did it have a great bad guy, it had loads of great bad guys. And the fights and the boss fights and all the rest of it were all really good. Did get frustrated with the stealth element, but then you get less frustrated with the stupidity of the fact that he's crawling around in a cardboard box, mm-hmm. and it just kind of takes the edge off it a little bit. Good, and it was enjoyable. And like I say, I tried to play the other ones after that, didn't get on with them at all. I felt like they were taking themselves too seriously, and they didn't have that kind of charm that the first game in the series had.
Because this one's a
went
prequel.
Went off it, never went back to it.
One of the things you early R&D is the cardboard box.
You R&D the cardboard box?
Yeah, as a stealth was element.
How it's just a box without the bottom in it. I mean,
yeah.
It doesn't take a rocket genius. Oh my God. Right, look. That's it. We're gonna take a quick break for a moment. We're gonna come back in a minute, and I think we're gonna have something special. Look, do we want to talk about any more games, or are we quite happy with the assortment that we've spoken about this week?
I think that's quite good.
Yeah,
I think we've covered our games this week. We're gonna, like I said before, we're gonna talk a little bit more about E3 and the ins and outs and the ups and downs.
This is a filler.
On the next podcast.
This is
a filler.
This is a taster of what's to
yeah,
come.
Yeah, this is just a wee lick of what we can give you a little bit later on. We're gonna be putting out another podcast hopefully in a few days' time. It's gonna have a little bit more E3 content. But look, we're going to take a very quick break right now, and then we're going to be back with an experimental game. Is this an early access title?
You all love these games.
Is this an alpha? Still
very much in alpha.
Oh, okay.
Very much in alpha. Oh, my that. God.
If I suck it, then I can blame
really husky then as well, so I'm really worried. Right, look, we'll take a quick break. We're going to be back with a potentially scary game. See you in a moment.
A potentially cuttable game.
Right, we're back. We have a brand new, untested, untried, and potentially extremely shonky game to be delivered to us by Ross's face.
Oh, boy.
We're not prepared for this at all. We don't know what's going on. So, Ross, go on, take this away. Tell us what we've got to do.
Okay, first, I want between you and Lee to decide who wants to go first.
Rich.
Oh, fuck. I knew that was going to happen.
There's no winner or losing this, really, apart from everyone else.
I'll go first, then.
Apart from people who are listening, yeah, okay. Oh, right. Oh yeah, Ross, Lee wants to go first. No. There has to be a winner, and there definitely will be a Lee as a loser. I will happily.
I've not come anything but last in every first. Game I've taken place in.
No.
This is.
I will thrust in first and see what's on me when I come out.
This is video game 20 questions.
Oh
my God! Okay.
I want you to think of a character from a video game.
Okay.
And I, using the power of my mind and some questions, will guess who it is.
Oh, you won't guess mine.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to put a little asterisk out there.
It may be more than 20 questions. You ask us 20 questions.
Yeah.
And we answer them, and then you have to... Okay.
I'm going to guess who it is in around... 20 questions.
You can use the internet.
I can use the internet. Yeah, you can if you want to think of a character.
No. I've got one straight away.
I've got a character straight away.
Okay.
But I don't. The problem is that you're going to ask me questions and I might not actually know the answers about this character. So I might have to think of a different one. Hang on.
Okay.
Don't know. Is a possible answer I can put into this site that I found to progress the game further.
Oh my God. Okay. Look. I'll try with the character that I just thought of because it was the first thing I thought of
okay.
for some stupid reason. and you asked me, I've just thought of a different one actually. I've thought of a different one. Okay, you go.
Okay.
Go. Give me the question.
Question one: Is your character a girl?
No.
Okay. Number two: Is your character real, as in a person that's in a video game, like a sports person?
No.
Okay.
I'm counting the questions.
Does your character have dark hair?
No.
Does your character wear clothes?
Yes.
Is your character...
What games do you think I'm playing?
Is your character originally from a video game?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe so.
Do you control your character? This is a weird question.
Yes.
Does your character use guns?
No, I don't think so. No.
Okay, no. Does your character appear in the Elder Scrolls series?
No.
Does your character fight with a sword?
Yes.
Okay, that's question number 9. Question number 10. Is your character the protagonist or a protagonist?
Yes.
Does your character ride horses?
Yes.
Is your character from the Zelda series?
Yes.
You're thinking of Link.
I am! Hey.
Wow.
There you go.
That's impressive.
I don't know how...
I like that.
That was 12 or 13, I think, so not bad.
That was 13.
So you're... No, let me make this clear here. You're not actually... You're feeding these answers into a website, right? Which is telling you... Yeah! You cheat!
I'm not sure that's cheating.
I think how we can decide a winner is who thinks of a character that takes more guesses to get.
Okay, because I want another go now.
No.
Yeah, I want another go. Okay, you go.
Later. You'll say that was 13.
That was 13.
All right. You ready, Lee?
Yep.
Okay. Is your character female?
No. Do you know this is difficult because it's androgynous?
Right, well, I need to start again.
It hasn't got genitals.
Right, okay. Let me start again. Is your character a female? Don't know, or probably not?
Don't know.
Right. Does your character wear clothes?
No.
Right. Is your character a Pokemon?
No.
Does your character stand on two legs?
Yes.
Is your character linked with Nintendo?
No.
Would it have been any sort of Nintendo game at any point?
Yes, it was out on SNES.
Okay. Is your character green?
No.
Ooh. I can see where we were going there. Is your character from the band Queen? It's an odd question.
What?
No.
Like, is your character like pink?
Yes, is it male or female? Yeah. I'm not sure. Was it in the band Queen?
Question number 8 is your character pink?
No.
Does your character have red skin?
No.
This is number 10. Does your character have an inhuman scream? Basically, are you thinking of L?
No. No, it doesn't have an inhuman scream that I can remember anyway.
Is your character brown?
Nope.
This is number 12. Does your character appear in the Mario games?
No.
Does your character have wings?
No.
Are you thinking of a character? Is your character blue?
No.
No. Does your character have a tail?
What's this?
No.
Does this character exist?
Yeah. No.
This is number 16. Is your character a bad guy?
No.
Is your character black?
Yes.
Right. Is your character in Super Smash Bros.?
No.
Is your character associated with plants?
No.
You might actually beat this game. Does your character wear black and red?
Yes.
Is it an animal?
What is he? No.
No? Does your character use guns?
No.
Is your character from a horror game?
No.
Is your character from a video game?
Yes.
Does your character have multiple dogs?
Oh.
Odd questions.
What?
I think it... Well, the computer's telling me he thinks it's Commander Video.
No.
No, I'm wrong. Wow. So do you want to carry on? Or do you want to tell us who it is? Because they'll carry on.
I don't think you'll get it. I bet it's not even in there. Well, it might be because it's quite obscure.
Right, this is character 26. Question number 26. Is your character linked with princesses?
No.
Does your character have hair?
No.
Is your character made out of metal?
No. Just ask me if it's obscure, because it is really obscure.
Is it from Skylanders?
No.
Is it in a 3D game?
It's being a knob.
No. Dude.
This is one of the paddles from Pong. Isn't
it? Is your character from an indie game?
No.
Is your character related in any way to Pokemon?
No.
Please ruin this game. Does your character eat?
Does he eat? No, I don't think he does.
Does your character wear shoes?
Yep.
Is your character a member of the Marvel Universe?
No.
Does your character play in England in FIFA 10?
No, for crying out loud.
If
can
this
I just
is
tell
Dizzy,
you?
Then you're a knob.
No, I think it would have got that.
Does your character have two arms?
Yes.
Is your character associated with snow?
No. Oh, so, actually,
I can't go back, Lee.
Oh, no.
Does your character wear a black suit?
Yes.
Is your character Italian?
No.
Is your character popular in the 90s?
Yes.
Is your character a ninja?
Yes.
Zool?
Yes.
42.
What? What?
That's going to stand for all time.
What?
That's my favourite platform game of all time.
Wow.
What? It
took 42 questions to get to that. Do you want to have another go, Rich?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But mine will not be anywhere near as obscure as that.
You found the game properly.
And I've got two that I want to do, but both of them will be got. Look,
okay.
Going to have a break here because you may cut the next thing that we do out, and then we can go straight to the outro.
Okay.
Right. I'm going to do the first one that I've been thinking of, and we'll see how it goes. And then, if not, I'll try the other one. Okay, go.
Okay. Does your character have a moustache?
Yes.
Ooh. Is your character a genie?
Fuck. No.
Okay. Is your character linked with the colour red?
No.
Does your character use guns?
Yes, no.
You can have don't know if you want, or probably.
Probably.
Okay. Is your character originally from a video game?
Yes.
Is your character bad?
Yes.
Is your character a scientist?
No.
Is your character currently more than 50 years old? Odd question.
I would say yes, probably.
Okay, let's go for probably. Has your character ever been elected a mayor?
I don't
or
think
mayor,
so.
You're supposed to say it. Does light come from your character?
Sometimes?
Okay, I go with probably.
Okay.
Does your character wear gloves?
Yes.
Is your character a theorist?
No.
Okay. Is your character a witch?
No.
Does your character have spiky hair?
No.
Is your character under the age of 10?
No.
Because you've already answered it's over 50.
Yeah.
Does your character have skin?
Yes.
Is your character associated with Hello Games?
No. Who are they?
I don't know who they are. Is your character from a spin-off series?
No.
Does your character often wear a hat?
Yes.
Is your character linked with Nintendo?
No.
Because it's thinking hat, moustache, gotta be Nintendo. Does your character really exist?
In real life?
That's all no. The question tells me, yeah. I'm assuming so.
What? Do they exist in real life?
I assume that would be the meaning of that, yeah.
What, as if they're a real life actual person that's been turned into a computer game?
Yeah,
no.
No. Okay. Do you control your character?
No.
Is your character a human?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
Is your character
no.
a military
yes.
man?
No. No.
Okay. Does your character live in America? Or would they live in America?
I would say yes.
Okay. You're on 25. The computer thinks of Papa Khan from Fallout New Vegas.
No.
No, I don't think it would be that. Just continue.
See, this is way less obscure than Lee's, which means that if I get more than him, I win.
What?
Is your character from the Fallout series?
No.
Does your character have a cell phone?
No.
Is your character from Red Dead Redemption?
No.
Is your character associated with zombies?
Yes.
This is 29. Is your character usually living with his children?
No.
Is your character a creepy pasta?
No.
Is your character associated with the ocean?
Yes. Is a creepy pasta like a bad piece of tortellini?
I don't know. I'm going to have to Google that right now because I'm intrigued. Creepy pasta.
Or creepy pasta is a Reddit thing, I think, isn't it?
It's a horror related
where
legend.
It's like copy paste. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Weird.
Right, okay. Carry on.
Is your character linked to Call of Duty?
No. I think it's going to get this, but...
Is your character a sailor or a pirate?
Yes.
Has your character ever been in a movie?
No, I don't think so.
Is your character linked with voodoo?
Yes.
Oh, I know.
Zombie pirate LeChuck.
Yes!
Yeah. I could have got that
from that. No, bollocks!
So, do I definitely win then?
You do.
Right, look, that was Ross's slightly pilfered and extremely off the cuff and not very well rehearsed game that we may never play again because I didn't win. I came really close, actually, considering that he picked one of the paddles from Pong, and I think that was slightly unfair.
If you cut this, I will never be on this podcast. No, I'm not going to say that. If you cut this, I'm never going to forgive you, because it's the only thing I've ever won on this podcast.
You won the right to be a fucking host. Don't you start grousing about
that's
it now.
A prize?
Right.
Yes, no, that's like a punishment.
That's your punishment. It's only because you were like the only listener we had. And we're like, oh, you might as well come and listen, come and host. Right. That was it. That was Ross's game. We've spoken about loads of stuff tonight. We've played a shonky wonky game, and we're going to call it a night because my back is absolutely fucking killing me. And as per normal, I've done the entire podcast stood up, which I think in this instance has probably helped. But at this point, I'm going to have to fall asleep a lot. So, this has been Ready Player 2, episode 77. Am I right?
Yes, you are.
Good. This has definitely been Ready Player 2, episode 77. I have been Rich. You can find me on Twitter at Zebwen, that's Zebwen. You can find my writey stuff because I wrote a book and then didn't follow it up with anything, but it's still a really good book. And at some point before you or I die, there might be a sequel. And you can find that at richard-horsley.com. The book is called Static Push. Go out and buy it, please.
I beg you.
Please, oh, for God's sake, somebody buy it. You can find Lee at...
ZZLeeZZ on Twitter.
And you can find Ross at...
RossBot1984 on Twitter or at Man on the Post on Twitter. And if you have any, even a slight interest in football, head over to our Man on the Post podcast, because trying to corral 16 different hosts to do a daily podcast in the middle of the World Cup is a fucking nightmare. So I appreciate some listeners, please.
You can find all of us at ReadyPlayer2, that's TWO.co.uk, where we were hosting all of our podcasts. You can find us on acast.com, and if you find us on Acast, that's where our podcasts go up first. And you can subscribe to us on there. You can subscribe to us on iTunes or pretty much any other podcast subscription service other than Spotify at the moment, annoyingly, because we're still waiting for them to get back to us. You can find us on Twitter at readyp2. You can find us on Facebook/readyplayer2, I think it is. You can find us on YouTube at ReadyPlayer2TV, on Twitch at ReadyP2, I think, and on Mixer at mixer.com/ReadyP2.
No, ReadyPlayer2.
ReadyPlayer2, good grief. All of the links are on our website. You can find us on all of those things. We are constantly streaming. We are streaming on Mixer, YouTube, Facebook, Twitch. We have got new content coming up on YouTube all the time.
We're hitting YouTube quite hard, so come and subscribe to us if you want to see what we're doing all the time.
We've got loads of stuff. We're playing with a lot of our listeners at the moment as well, which is really nice. Yeah. And we've gotten quite a few games in with a few different listeners. Get involved. We have a Discord, which I'm not gonna link to. I don't even know how to link to the Discord here.
The feedback as well. We need more feedback. We love our feedback. Yes. This is great.
We love feedback. Even if it's negative or if it's abusive towards me, which a lot of it has been.
Especially if it's abusive towards you.
If you message any of us on Twitter or anywhere else and you want to get in on the Discord that we've got, it is slightly exclusive and we reserve the right to kick people out. Potentially Lee, if he gets too grousy.
I won the game. You just
But we're playing loads of games. Loads of games at the moment. Some of them free, like we said, with Realm Royale. Come and join us. We can't guarantee that we're going to be able to play with everybody, but it's a place where all of the people who listen to the podcast can hang out, talk about things, and all the rest of it. You can no longer find us, as we mentioned last time, you can no longer find us at the Palace of Wisdom. I am kind of throwing up some kind of long-lasting peace sign for the Palace of Wisdom for Code.UK, which is no longer with us, but you can find the things that the guys from the Palace of Wisdom are doing at the moment on Big Red Barrel. Chris Coleman is the host of Big Red Barrel UK, one of the hosts of Big Red Barrel UK. I believe Andrew Tanner is also writing for Big Red Barrel as well. So it's almost been a wholesale shift from the Palace of Wisdom to Big Red Barrel. So if you're interested in the things that they used to do, you can go find them over there and they do great stuff.
We're still doing Ring the Bell as well, Andrew. We've found some Buzzsprout. No idea what that is, but that's what we are now.
No idea what that is, but link it in the show notes and there you go. Right. That is it. That is us. That has been Ready Player 2, episode 77. I'm hoping that episode 78 is going to be coming along not too distant future, and we'll be talking about more E3 things, and we're going to have videos and all kinds of stuff coming out. Thank you very much for listening. We love you all. Good night.
Good night.
We don't really have time to be doing this, do we?
No. You carry on.
You do it, or Rich Talksley.
Yeah. Right, that's what I'm trying to do, but I'm just doing it really badly.
I haven't got my card, and I don't know. I'm just... Anyway. I'm... One sec.
Oh,
I like this.
I nearly bought it on Xbox then.
Do it. Come play with me, Lee.
Come to the dark side.
So if you needed any evidence that this podcast sells games,
there you go.
Yeah,
selling them to each other.
It's happening right now in front of our eyes. Add promo code. Don't forget to get your.
Yeah, I've already done that. $29.99.
Nice bargain. I'm doing it on the browser because. Yeah, like I said.
I'm doing it through Uplay.
Seems more quicker.
Confirm my order. Oh, I've done it.
It's done.
Go on. Actually, I need to put a code from my phone, I think.
Obviously, I'm going to cut all this.
Yeah.
Scared the shit out of me then. It just said you just bought it for $37.49. Well, no, I didn't. What the fuck are you talking about?
Come on, give me my code. Here's my code.
Right, give me one moment because I'm just going to check to see if I can actually download this.
Okay. Are we going to download it while...
Well, we're recording on separate streams, so it shouldn't make a blind bit of difference. Yeah. We can always pause it if it causes a problem.
Yeah, it's true. It's got to come on, get a bit jumpy, but it doesn't matter, does it?
Right, download. How big are you?
Pain out.
8 gig?
No, that's
how much I've got available. I might have to redo that outro.
Hello. That
we all here?
That's not the most full my bladder's ever been, but it's probably in the top 10.
You both came back at exactly the same time. That is suspicious.
There is nothing to read into that.
We do spend
there
a lot of time.
Nothing
together.
To read into that at all. I was not holding it for him. That is not a thing.
Knocking the drips off.
I'm not knocking anything off you.
I'm getting old. I need help.
Right then.
Keep me steady.
Oh, fucking hell. I keep getting my mustache caught in the ring pulls.
What? So in the what?
Oh, in the ring pulls of his
ring
can.
Wrinkles on cans.
I thought we did. Okay, wrinkles are a different thing for me.
No, ring pulls.
Oh, ring pulls. They said wrinkles.
It's not good grief. How deep would your wrinkles have to get your moustache caught in them?
I don't know.
Oh my god.
Clean the towel out.
Different connotation.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.